Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Everybody's going to be going there again in a year, and John Elway has very much struggled since getting an old Peyton Manning as a free agent to find the right quarterback. So,
Yes. You
know, that's going to be an interesting situation moving forward.
Okay. All right, plug your podcast for us, Jason.
Tone this week on the BMO show, man. On the Be More Opinionated podcast. And now he knows when I talk like this, we're about to go for a WALK.
So I'm
going to have to figure out some new strategies here, Tone. Hey, I don't know what it is, dog. I'll be right with you. Thanks, hon.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty then. We got Barry Zwerluga here. We have Gene McManus here. Michael Kornheiser's here. Nigel's running the board. The great Carol Melliman is here, who was the lawyer for the Washington Post for many, many years and kept me out of trouble.
Kept me out of trouble, too.
So that was really good to know. We're at Chatter. We are open for breakfast. We're at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue and Jennifer Streets Northwest. Come by and see us. We're warmer today because Karen brought in space heaters.
It's always
so
nice.
You don't have to sit and eat
always in
all of your clothing. Speaking of clothing, there is a lovely present here for baby boy Bootsy. We'll get to the show in a second, but the baby boy Bootsy present.
This present will get a lot of use this weekend.
This is from Ellie, Ariel, and Sloan Stewart. A little while back, you put out a call to help support Chatter. You asked for people to come in and eat or for marketing or advertising ideas. Well, here I am. You called, and this little came. I drove my wife and six-month-old from New York City to eat your food for a second time. So it goes on and on, and it's really nice, and I appreciate that. Not only did I come all the way to pay real and not virtual money for your food, I came bearing a gift from Michael, Liz, and Bootsy. As you hold it up for the Chatter News Network, you will see what happens, what appears to be an oversized child boxing gloves. And that's exactly what it looks like. It looks like giant mittens for the Incredible Hulk's child. Giant mittens. And I asked what it was. And then says,
sleeping bag.
While I'm sure Bootsy will one day possess a mean left hook, it is not yet his time. He first needs to master his bowel movements before he can properly train and drink Gatorade. What you are holding up are a pair of special gloves that attach to the handlebars of Bootsy's stroller, enabling Michael, Liz, and you, Grandpa, to keep your hands warm and easily accessible in case Michael needs to call you on his birthday as Bootsy is being pushed on his D.C. winter walks. Do you want to explain the gift? Because it's beautiful.
So it's a pair of mittens that have Velcro where the fingers can meet the thumb so that you can hold on to the stroller so that it does not roll into oncoming traffic when it's sub-freezing.
Yeah, that's
important. Do you find your thumb slipping from your fingers in those situations?
No, I have a pretty good grip because you realize what the consequences could be.
Dead
but
grip,
baby boy Bootsy, six-month checkup yesterday.
How did it go?
Topping out over 17 pounds, and he's now over 28 inches tall.
Well, where is that on the relative chart to other giant giraffe babies?
For the height, he's still in the 90th percentile, but I think the measurement was a little short.
Right.
He's a little low on the scale.
Him to the combine.
Yeah.
Because the measurement at the combine is exact. Well, and then he jumps.
He's working on his jump.
See his vertical?
He's working on the jump.
Okay.
And he's now rolling freely.
So that rolling, well, the other night at the house, he only rolled one way. He only rolled from back to front.
Oh, he rolls front to back now, too. It's a little harder for him.
Okay. And then soon
he'll walk. He's ambidextrous.
Soon he'll walk?
Walking comes after crawling.
When is crawling? Isn't he late on crawling?
No, that's in 6 to 9 months, and he's beginning to do the little scoot forward.
Right.
This is very inside information.
Well, no, but I think people really want to hear it.
I disagree.
But here, do you think they want to hear my nuclear button is bigger than your nuclear button? Do you think how does that when you first see that? So like last night I come home and I just turned on right at 8 o'clock because I mean the basketball games, there was 1,000 basketball games and I just wanted to see if there was anything in the news. And right at 8 o'clock, Anderson Cooper comes on and Anderson Cooper does one of these. He goes, "Well, we were going to start with something else, but we've got to start with this." And then he starts reading tweets.
Was it the mittens?
About the nuclear button. And then this morning, everybody is in a full scale panic that this is going to, you know, lead to war within an hour and a half, and it's probably not.
I mean, if I were going someplace within 30 or 40 miles of there, I might be concerned. But
yeah.
Anyway,
how do you feel about that?
I feel great.
Yeah, going to the Olympics.
They're
going to take the bombs are just going to go over.
They're going to go right over us. We're going to be living in that depleted and food starved regime at some point.
That's very good. All right, so a bunch of things have happened. Many of them are minor, but to me they are interesting and they concern football. And the first one is Carson Palmer has retired. Carson Palmer was the first USC quarterback to ever win the Heisman Trophy. They've had a lot of running backs win it. He's the first one to ever win the Heisman Trophy. And he was going to be a Heisman Trophy winner who was going to be great. And early on with the Cincinnati Bengals at the beginning of his career, and I believe this corresponded to the beginning of Marvin Lewis's career there, and I'll get to Marvin Lewis in a second, but Carson Palmer was going to be great. He got the Bengals. The Bengals were terrible. And the Bengals are a terrible franchise. They don't have any money. They practice underneath a highway. It's just it's a dump. It's a dump. It's like it really is the mom and pop shop of the NFL. Really is. So he's going to be great, and he throws a pass in his first playoff game. He throws a pass that goes for 66 yards and gets undercut by a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers who has been nicknamed in Cincinnati something like Otto Von, you know, Assassin or something like that.
Von Trapp.
And he tore his, was it Achilles or was it an ACL?
I thought it was ACL.
And he was never great. He came back and he was good. He was good in Cincinnati. He was good in Oakland, better in Arizona, but always got hurt. This, don't you think that this is a career? This is one of those careers cut short, not short because it's 15 years, but hurt by an injury so early. He could have been, I think, could have been great.
Yes.
And he still finished with very good numbers.
Well, that's what snuck up on me.
Though he never won a playoff game.
No, and neither has Marvin Lewis.
Which we'll get to.
Yeah. But it snuck up on me where he ranks just in, you know, kind of the...
12th.
Yeah, 12th.
All time.
Yeah. All time.
All time in yards and touchdown passes.
I mean...
I never would have had him there.
No. I mean... Never. I wouldn't have had him in the top 25, would you?
No.
Carson Palmer?
Because he missed a lot of time and
So, to me, that... this is... Since I lean more baseball, and baseball reveres statistics in a way that football just doesn't. I mean, that kind of put that in perspective. That you would know who's 12th in home runs. You have no idea.
You can list the top 20. Exactly. He was 15 of the top 20.
Exactly. Yeah. So crazy career.
So speaking of him makes me also think of Larry Fitzgerald, who is not so much marred by injury, but to me that is a fantastic player who has never won a Super Bowl. That he will go.
He got to one.
He came close.
He got to one because Kurt Warner had a great year. Larry Fitzgerald. Well, he's an instant Hall of Famer right now. So you would know, even if you didn't know the exact numbers, you would know that Larry Fitzgerald is in the top 10.
That's correct.
It's true, but I don't know. I just feel that there is that he is just this dynamic player who just should have been in a bigger spotlight.
Yes, but you would concede that everyone would say of Larry Fitzgerald, he's great.
Yes, true.
And you would say of Carson Palmer, he was good.
True.
He was good. He wasn't great. Carson Palmer's original coach, Marvin Lewis, who I think, given the terrible constraints at Cincinnati, has done a great job in the regular seasons of his career. Now, you can argue two things against Marvin Lewis. One is that he has permitted and perhaps even encouraged a lawlessness among his players that is unrivaled except by the Oakland franchise over the years. That is a bad mark against Marvin Lewis. The second is he's 0-7 in the playoffs. This is the Marty Schottenheimer curse. He's 0-7 in the playoffs, so he's never going to go to the Hall of Fame or anything like that. I thought for a while he was Vince Lombardi because, Barry, you know how difficult it is. They don't have any money.
I mean, they don't. 2011 to 15, he won 9, 10, 11, 10, and 12 games in Cincinnati. And this is, you know, it's not only without
Palmer. Don't have free agents.
I mean, people rip apart, people not in Buffalo, rip apart Andy Dalton, too.
Yeah.
He has been, his staying power is kind of remarkable given the 0-7 and given the track record off the field.
So now, all year long, the two coaches most likely to be fired are Marvin Lewis and Chuck Pagano all year long, all right? Chuck Pagano is fired and justifiably fired, but he lost his quarterback. He lost Andrew Luck,
right.
And he got canned. Marvin Lewis is going to be fired. He wins the last game.
4th and 12.
Knocking Andy Dalton, throws 4th and 12, the most exciting play of the entire weekend, knocks out the Baltimore Ravens, which they love in Cincinnati because it's in the division.
Yep.
And brings in the Buffalo Bills, despite the fact that the Nathan Peterman era was such a rousing success. And now they give Marvin Lewis 2 more years. That's a stunner to me.
Well, I mean, do we think it was predetermined? First of all, some of this was discussed as this is a mutual conversation. Marvin, it was reported a couple weeks ago that he was likely to step away from the job, that he was done.
But
right?
He also said time and time again, this is not reported accurately.
Right. Right, that's right.
As did Bruce Arians, but in Bruce Arians' case, it was reported accurately.
Right. I mean, but Arians argued, "Well, I didn't
make the decision." Would you give Marvin Lewis 2 more years?
It's such a tough thing. I mean, he knows the situation there. What are the parameters? How do you define success?
Who else
success
would go there? Who else would go to Cleveland?
Okay, but the answer to that, and I think that's always the question with who would go to Washington. There are 32 of these jobs.
There
are 32 of these jobs, and the egos involved. Everybody thinks the at that level, they think, you know what? I'm the one who can fix Cincinnati, Cleveland, Washington, whatever. I mean, they have to.
I think there may be teams that actually reach a tipping point where people are realistic enough to know I can't fix it.
So
I mean, Sean McVay can go to L.A. and think that.
He's young.
Kyle Shanahan can go to San Francisco and think that because San Francisco had its issues, but they're not as entrenched as Cincinnati and Cleveland.
So what you see with Cincinnati is very intriguing. Marvin Lewis is the second longest tenured coach in the league behind Bill Belichick. His coordinators leave all the time.
Yeah, they're head coaches.
They are head coaches everywhere. Jay Gruden is one of them. Mike Zimmer is one of them. They leave because they know that you've got to leave Cincinnati. You cannot get stuck replacing Marvin Lewis because it's a complete dead end. So they leave. Speaking of one, Jay Gruden. If you have ever, and this is localized for people who like this show.
But it's national, too.
Well, yeah, but if people like this show because it gives them a taste of where they grew up. This is important to know. If you have ever read a quote from a coach or a general manager or an owner that indicates to you that the following player is never coming back, you have just read this quote. Here is the quote from Jay Gruden in the Washington Post today. When you're 7-9, it's hard to say, wow, this guy was really outstanding. That is saying to Kirk Cousins, we're not even going to bother to franchise you again. We're not going to pay $75 million total and never get in the playoffs with you. We're not going to do it. Do what you want. He said, and he later said, I think he competed and did some good things. Goodbye, Kirk. And whether he's here or not, we have to figure out ways that we're going to make this team better.
And you know what? The same words could be true of Jay Gruden himself.
Well, of course.
But absolutely.
I'm surprised that the Washington Redskins are keeping him and saying this to him, the next quarterback we get is your project and you can mold him, right?
That's absolutely
I'm
right.
I'm surprised.
I mean, this is what he was supposed to have done with Cousins, and he did. And then, if you think about quarterbacks, we went through this at the office a couple weeks ago. This situation with a quarterback, a homegrown quarterback, has never happened in the history of the league. These guys get locked up. People make mistakes on them. Ryan Tannehill's been hurt. You know, should they have done that with Stafford? Whatever. People lock them. They don't get to the open market at Kirk Cousins' age, at their peak, at 30. Does not happen. That has to represent a failure of evaluation for their own guy. They have to know. You are paid to know. Who is this guy? What is he now? What can he become? And you have to prevent a situation where you're in retrospect or, you know, after the fact, you're criticizing him like, he was okay because you know he's walking out the door.
When did you read that quote?
Yesterday.
And you said to yourself. I've got to write. I've got to write, except you've already written.
I've already written.
Because college football
exactly.
playoff. I mean, I understand the columnist mentality. If somebody says to me, this is the Kirk Cousins quote. I call up and I say, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah, exactly.
Ready
here
to go because
right.
he's gone.
I've got 800 words
right
now.
I don't care what other person is going to write that there's still some way to maybe keep him.
No, you're right.
He's gone. Not only, and he's gone and the other guy's not gone.
I'm sure they'd both be gone. I'm not surprised at all about Cousins. I mean, those words came as no surprise to me. The only thing that came as a surprise to me is that he remembered his first name.
Because I'm stunned to read those quotes by the head coach, who is supposed to be the most supportive person of everybody
exactly.
on the team.
Except
if Bruce Allen
he's no longer
says
on
that,
the team.
Yeah, he's gone. They sat and they said, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here now. That's what this is.
So if we turn this to Gruden, and to the extent, is he carrying water for the front office? Has he been told, look, we cannot embrace Kirk in any way now because... So maybe that's the case. When the Detroit Lions fired Jim Caldwell the other day, after a 9-7 season...
Not a 7-9 season.
Not a 7-9 season. It was his fourth year, and he went 36-28. Jay Gruden, and went to the playoffs twice, and had one 7-9 season, winning seasons all the rest of them. Jay Gruden has gone to the playoffs once, is 26-32-1 or something, 25, you know, a losing record, and he is retained to oversee what? Where are we going from here?
The magic of Colt McCoy?
Who is evaluating personnel? Is it Doug Williams? Is it Bruce Allen?
I mean, what are their... I don't think we have a clear kind of organizational flow chart of responsibilities.
But this is the signal that Kirk Cousins, that he can go to the phone and he can start fielding
offers. And that's
why
it's a national story. Yeah. Because if you are sitting in any...
Denver?
Or say Pittsburgh. Yeah. We don't know what's going to happen there.
Jacksonville
has a very good team except for the most important position. Yeah. So that's why it's national, I think.
All right. We will get out of here now. Tomorrow, I think we'll... I know I have a lot of Christmas cards and a lot of things, and I will get to them. But we will get out of here now, and we will come back with Pat 40, right, of Yahoo.
That's right.
And we'll talk about the college football playoffs when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Okay, this is the Squarespace ad. Now, this came to us today...
You use it a lot,
...in three different pages. And Nigel started fixing and pasting and cutting and crossing stuff out. And I didn't even know what Squarespace was. And then Jeannie said to me, Squarespace is good.
Yeah, it's a very relatively easy way to build your own website.
All right. Now, the notion of Tony building his own website is absurd. Yeah. I mean,
you're building a log cabin.
I'm not going to build my own website. But for those of you who want to, and if Jeannie says this is good, this is testimonial, which is what everybody wants. I have tech support at home, I should add.
Even tried it.
Create a beautiful website to turn your cool idea into a new website, to showcase your work, to blog or publish content, to sell products and services of all kind, to promote your physical or online business, or announce an upcoming event or special project, and more. Squarespace does this by giving you beautiful templates created by world-class designers. Powerful e-commerce functionality lets you sell anything online. The ability to customize look and feel, settings, products, and more with just a few clicks. Now, you lost me a click. But the rest of you have some idea, I think, what's going on. Everything is optimized for mobile right out of the box. It's a new way to buy domains. You've lost me on domains. And choose from over 200 extensions. The only thing I know about extensions is that when Rachel comes to town to do the show, she's got to get hair and makeup, right, and I have to go to another room. That's what I know about extensions. Analytics that help you grow in real time. Built-in search engine optimization. Free and secure hosting, nothing to patch or upgrade ever, 24/7 award-winning customer support. Make it. We're encouraging folks to make it. Make it yourself. Easily create a website by yourself. Make it stand out. Stand out with a beautiful website. Are you ready to start your new business? Make it stand out. Get started with Squarespace, which you recommend, Gene.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Go to Squarespace.
But I have tech support.
And Michael, you recommend as well?
Squarespace has not really looked into this, but the TonyKornheiserShow.com website was built using Squarespace.
That's an endorsement. I confused Squarespace with SpongeBob for a while because it just sort of sounded
like
the same thing.
Right.
Go to squarespace.com for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use the promo code Tony to save 10% off your first purchase of a website domain.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Jake Lawfer in Santa Monica, California. It's called Handsome Party. It says, though I live in L.A. and I grew up in Philadelphia, I've been a fan of the Tony Kornheiser Show in its various forms for literally decades, thanks to a long stint in the D.C. area earlier this millennium. This is described as a mid-tempo, quirky instrumentation bit of a Tom Waits vibe if he never smoked or drank.
Well, oops.
Yeah.
So you needed the smoking and the drinking.
We are grateful to Jake Lawfer. He sent us a bunch of stuff, and we like his work. Pat 40 of Yahoo joins us now. I sat down about 15 minutes ago and said you were going to be on the show. And Sverluga, who's sitting to my right, said, I just saw him 36 hours ago. Did you end up, and I would ask this of Barry as well, did you end up at the wrong game? Or should you have been at the other game?
Definitely. If
Whoa,
you want
are you well? You were just breathing in such a way that I thought you were going to pass out. Are you well?
I'm great.
Okay, good.
I've never felt better.
Okay, yeah. So we at the wrong game. Would you? Because the other game was great.
Yeah, no, if you wanted to see a really, you know, riveting football game, yes, we were at the wrong game, no doubt about it, but that you take your chance that way if you are covering Alabama in the postseason, because they tend to put chokeholds on teams and deliver games like they did.
Right.
You know, the other game was one of the best games I've ever seen, incredibly exciting. But it did give me the chance, being at the latter game and having seen both of them unfolding, did give me the chance to write about SEC worldwide domination to the complete disgust of 39 of the 50 states.
Correct. What is interesting about that, and we talked about this yesterday, is that the SEC was on the verge of a debacle like they'd never had, especially when Auburn lost. And you thought, oh my, the teams at the top are even going to lose. And then they both come through and they win. The Georgia-Oklahoma game, to me, was USC-Texas. I mean, in your experience, Pat, how many teams of Power 5 conferences score 45 points in regulation and lose? That can't happen. Can't happen, right?
Incredibly rare. You know, I mean, last year's Rose Bowl was similar to that.
Yeah.
You know, with USC and Penn State, and just this incredible back and forth, and you think, and these surges of momentum where you think, my gosh, there's no way Oklahoma's ever going to stop scoring, and then all of a sudden, there's no way Georgia's going to stop scoring, and then both of them will get a stop here, get a stop there, and you know, for it to come down like that was amazing. But yeah, you just don't see high level teams, generally speaking, involved in those kind of crazy shootouts. But it was just incredible fun.
So I'm curious about this. Wilbon hates Baker Mayfield. I love Baker Mayfield. I think a lot of people hate Baker Mayfield. Why do they hate Baker Mayfield?
You know, well, he's excessively, I guess the word you would say, almost tragically competitive,
mm-hmm.
Because he can't just play. It's got to be, you know, I'm going to play and then I'm going to grab my crotch and I'm going to, you know, F you, and I'm going to run up and down the field like a junior high girl on recess when we score a touchdown, I catch a pass. I mean, he's great theater. Look, he's good for our job because he's very interesting. He's very talented. He has overachieved probably given his physical stature. Most quarterbacks of that size are not that good. But, you know, I can understand the desire for opponents to want to shove a sock in his mouth. It's interesting with the Georgia player telling him to humble himself after the game. Yesterday or 2 days ago. So, you know, he's a lightning rod figure. I can understand both sides of it. I watch him and think, man, he's really good, but I wish he would shut up or just act, you know, tone it down a little bit.
He's got some Bryce Harper in him is how I would say it. Like, Bryce Harper's a polarizing figure.
Well, what I feel bad about, I feel badly that the Heisman Trophy winner, and so often Heisman Trophy winner quarterbacks are not very good. You know, they don't go to the pros and are not very good. So I always root for them to be in the national championship. And I would like to have seen him against Alabama. Because now what I worry about, and I'm sure that you share this concern, Pat, is you're going to get a 10-3 game. You're going to get a game that is just, it's not going to be particularly fun to watch. Do you worry about that?
Sure. I think that's entirely possible. Because I think you're going to see two coaches who think the same, who build their teams the same, who have very good defenses. Believe it or not, Georgia does have a good defense despite what Oklahoma.
Well, they were ranked third in the country. They were ranked third
in
the country on defense, and Alabama was one. So, what are we going to see? What are we going to see?
I think we are going to see a lot of slugging it out in the trenches where both teams aren't going anywhere. I think 10-3 is very possible. And I think it's going to come down to whether Jake Fromm or Jalen Hurts can make plays throwing the ball, because I think it's going to be hard to run, even for Georgia with those magnificent running backs. If Alabama's defensive line plays like it did against Clemson, you're not going to be running very far.
So what you get here is the SEC saves itself at the top, and they put together a game that, to be fair, is an extraordinarily attractive game because these two teams didn't play each other this year, and both of these teams had been number one for extended periods of time this year. So it's a game that you might want to see, except it begins to feel like not just a regional game, but a defensive regional game, and the kind of game that you would say, you know what, I'm not all that interested in. And it fuels, you know, the what you referred to before, the hatred of the SEC by almost everybody in the country.
Sure. Yeah. No, I think that very well could play out that way, that you not only – you get a game that a lot of people are going to begrudge before it even starts, and then once it starts and there are 10 punts in the first half and, you know, six more or seven more punts in the second half, oh, it's terrible, it's boring, this, you know, this is why we should never have this. That sort of thing, and you'll get, you know, some illogical extremes too. Like, well, if Ohio State were playing, that would be much more exciting.
Stop.
Which you don't know that would be the case. If UCF were playing, you know, blah 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 blah. But that's what we're going to get, I think, if it does turn out to be, I'm going to say 17-14, 21-17. Even though people won't like that either.
21-17 would be, I mean, it's amazing, though, Pat. I mean, what you're describing is essentially the Alabama-LSU national championship game from a few years ago, which would have the same flavor, a regional game, SEC, two SEC teams, bad quarterback play. But we are talking about a Georgia team that gained 527 yards and scored 45 points in regulation. And with those two backs, I mean, it's not, okay, 10-3 is possible, but I don't think it's predetermined. I think, you know, you could have some offense here.
So I will give you my takeaway from the entire bowl season to this point. And I think that Pat is, I'm not going to say that Ohio State would change and it would make it better, but I really feel that with what you saw from the Big Ten in the bowl season, there's no way that next year the champion of the Big Ten is not included in this. Pat, I don't care if the champion has three losses, because I think you do run the risk of people looking at college football and just saying it's essentially NASCAR now. It's a regionalized sport. And you can't put the Pac-12 in because they stink, but the Big Ten was really good, don't you think?
I mean, it was outstanding in the bowl season, no doubt about it. I think that you've got to give them credit for going and winning a lot of those games that traditionally they have not won in the postseason, and that incurred some criticism for them. So, yeah, I don't think there's much doubt at all that what the committee does is always going to be informed a little bit by what happened the year before, and that they'll say every year is self-contained. But
that's a lie.
Sure,
that's a lie.
Yeah, right. It's human nature. These are human beings, and I think that they're gonna. They're listening to a lot of the backlash and a lot of the concerns that, yes, this is, you know, this is making this supposed to be a national tournament, so to speak, and instead it's a regional thing. Look, I was in favor of having Alabama in instead of Ohio State because I thought those were the four best teams. And I thought with Ohio State losing to Iowa by 31 points, that was enough of a disqualifier compared to Alabama that they shouldn't be in. But I got to say, after what the Big Ten did, that they have at least an argument for yes, their champion should have been in there.
Well, the argument is going to be, the argument will be for eight teams because of UCF as well. The next
sure.
phase is eight teams, and you guarantee one outlier team, you know, the Boise States of the world, the UCFs
right.
of the world, right? Don't you think that happens? Isn't that an almost automatic?
I would be okay with six. I think you could do six, and I think you could give the top two teams a bye because there's a lot of concern about playing too many games, and that would alleviate that to a degree. Eight would be fine. I may write something this week. A friend of mine, look, if you've done this job and you guys have, you have seen more playoff proposals come through. I mean, that's like those emails come in, you roll your eyes. A friend of mine came up with an ingenious 16-team proposal that I might roll out a column on this week that I'm sure people would resist. But if you want a truly inclusive tournament and you want to get the champions of the other leagues in there or give the little guys a chance or have some of the flavor from the NCAA tournament where David has a chance to be Goliath, then, yeah, you've got to give UCF a chance. You've got to find a way to give the champion of Conference USA a chance. So will people listen to it? I don't know. Is there a ton of resistance to expanding the playoff? Yes. But years like this are the kind of thing that could lessen that resistance.
They beat Auburn. Okay, Auburn beat Alabama and Georgia, right? And they beat Auburn. So I wouldn't have put them in because their schedule wasn't good enough to go in. But at some point you look around and you say, maybe this has to be expanded a little bit. The other thing I would bring up is two names, and I'm just curious what you think. I think the two biggest winners this year in terms of coaching were Scott Frost and Lane Kiffin. And I wonder what you think Nebraska holds for Frost and what the future holds for Kiffin.
I think absolutely Frost. I mean, what a spectacular year, and I am so glad he did the right thing and Nebraska allowed him to do the right thing to finish this season at Central Florida instead of bailing on an undefeated team so he can go start recruiting in the next job. So I think Central Florida, I just couldn't have a better feeling, I guess, for how that all played out. And good for them and good for Frost, and I think it only enhances him and his reputation and his ability probably to recruit at Nebraska. As far as Kiffin, I mean, yeah, Kiffin, I think, absolutely proved that he can be a head coach and do great things. Now, he's still Lane. He's still Eddie Haskell.
Yeah.
You know, for the 70 and over crowds listening to you.
Yeah.
Plenty of those.
You know? Yeah, lots. But, you know, So I still think there's some reluctance to give him the reins of a really good job, but he showed how good a coach he can be.
I thought so. I mean, he's a dangerous hire, and he's mean-spirited, which I like a lot. But I think he's good. Thank you, Pat. How's the swimming going?
It's going great. Let's see. Christmas training right now, but he's working really hard, and they'll get back in the swim meets here in January.
It's good. It's good. It's always warm in the pool because the pools are indoors most of the time. It's always warm, not like it is here. Thank you, Pat.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Pat 40, boys and girls, Yahoo Sports. We will take a break. Nigel will come back and do the news. Yes, Nigel?
That's right.
Do the news?
That's right. Thanks.
We're very grateful. It's not nearly as cold in here today as it was yesterday. It was quite cold yesterday. It's really nice today.
Toasty.
Yeah, it's nice. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Nathan Sieg from the Nathan Ryan Band, who writes, as longtime listeners to the Tony Kornheiser Show, we've enjoyed hearing the original music being sent in and played daily on the podcast. We'd now like to offer you something a little different. We're a kindie band. What does that mean? Based out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I know you're probably asking yourself, what is a kindie band? Imagine.
We did.
Imagine the Rolling Stones, but for 8-year-olds. Our music is family-friendly, and our concert venues regularly feature children museums, family music festivals, and yes, even the occasional birthday party. We have left the date open for Bootsy's first birthday. Enclosed is a single off our new EP entitled Robot Man, which can be found on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, and Google Play. Michael, if other kindie bands, I guess that's kindergarten, maybe? If other bands of any sort, any stripe, want to send stuff in, how do they do it?
Please email your music into the show, jingles@tonycornheiser.com, and I never realized that I could selfishly use this show for something for my little boy.
So Gary Braun does it all the time.
You could build a whole catalog.
Tickets.
It's like
Gary
my own
goes
Spotify.
To Coldplay 10,000 miles away. Gary wisely uses this show, and you should do the same thing. Now, I often ask Michael, are we selling anything? Inside Chatter. We are selling Chatter T-shirts.
That's right.
Blue T-shirts with the Chatter logo. We're selling them for you can't. Don't write us. Show up.
Right. Go to be
show
here to get
up.
It.
Because I think 0.11 of the people who listen to the show actually show up. A lot of people come from distance and they show up. So if you're here and you want to buy a T-shirt, we're happy to sell you a T-shirt at less than a 50% markup. Because I know both ends of that deal.
Do you take cash?
We take cash. Okay. We're one of the few people. Yeah. You know what? I deal in cash, and it's becoming increasingly difficult to buy a sandwich. I don't have FlashPass or InstaFace.
Apple Pay.
I don't have that stuff. I have money in my pocket.
Right.
You know, and that's like this show, I'm going to go get gas in my car, and I'm going to pay cash money to do it.
You'll pay cash for gas, really?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. You don't write a check?
No, I don't ever write a check.
He does not care for credit card points.
I don't want
slow down the express line.
I know. I mean, that's the other thing, too. When you now go to supermarkets, it's hard to find a human being who will take your money.
Yeah. A lot of them say, we don't accept cash.
Do you know Sweetgreen, the salad little salad chain here?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
They stopped taking cash. They will. You would not be able to eat a healthy salad at Sweetgreen because they would look at your money and say, "What is
there's this?" There's another local place, the Jetties people.
Oh, they don't take cash? You're kidding.
No, they don't take cash.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
They don't take cash. I mean, what do we do? This is America, okay? Okay.
We also accept salt here because that's a form of currency,
yeah, isn't
it? Bitcoins.
Bitcoins,
right. Sure.
Virtual money.
Interesting trades. I've got a pencil bitten by John Voight. Would you like that?
Yeah.
Mr. Tony, we will start off this newscast.
I've got this. Which makes me happy.
That could get you two salads.
Duck and cover. Get away from the windows. Take cover and await further instructions.
God.
By the way, you may want to play that or give that to anybody in the Northeast because the storm that is approaching, and it's already in like northern Florida.
Kevin is ecstatic about this.
Yes.
Ecstatic.
There is, it's called a bomb cyclone, and it's going to go into that Arctic polar vortex.
Yeah.
And it's essentially when it reaches.
It's a hurricane.
It's a winter hurricane. And out to sea. Gene, I think you said it, or maybe it was Karen that said it, that there's winds that are going to be up to 90 miles an hour over the ocean, but. I think on Cape Cod, they're expecting winds to be about 50, 60 miles an hour with snow and with ice and just with brutal cold weather.
You've got to be crazy to be in Cape Cod now.
Yes.
Crazy.
They keep inventing names for these. Like we had the polar vortex, and now we have the bomb cyclone.
Bomb cyclone.
Forget Cape Cod. They're going to get 4 inches of snow in Savannah.
Georgia.
In the low country in South Carolina on the river. My in-laws are going to get 4+. I think they locally called it Tony's Revenge.
Yeah, because I wasn't invited.
Yeah,
I wasn't invited for Christmas. By the way, they don't have, in places like that, public transit,
no,
public works, they don't have plows.
No, there's not a pile of salt.
They don't have that.
No.
They don't have snow shovels. They don't have things
Remember
like that.
Remember Atlanta a couple years ago?
My gosh.
Just came
when people would, you'd be outside broadcasting on radio and you'd see cars spinning around and crashing into other cars on an almost minute-by-minute basis.
Kind of fun, actually.
Yeah, but as long as you're not in the cars, they're not equipped for that.
No,
they're
not at all. Not at all.
More importantly, the 19971.
Oh, yeah.
Well, which is Rehoboth.
And that starts
5 to 8.
Yeah, this tonight, right?
Five to eight
of snow.
So you drive out there tonight just to check on things?
Yeah, just to batten the hatches.
Make sure the house is okay. The grill is fastened.
There's an instinct in me that wants to do that, but there's a lot of years saying don't do that. That's going to be
That's why
be
I'm
bad.
Glad my husband got rid of a boat, because that would have been him down on the boat.
Yeah, that 5 to 8 inches.
Oh yeah,
in Rehoboth. Wow. I mean, that's so very, very odd. In the interior of Delaware, and Delaware is a pretty small state.
Skinny state.
Used to snow, but at the water, not often. Not often.
This appears to be just a violent, nasty storm all across the East Coast. We forgot to do this yesterday. When I say we, I mean me. I forgot to give credit to Binghamton. They snapped their two-game win streak.
Did we win? Did we open up the American East with a win?
Well, they lost to Penn State. Then they lost to LIU, 74-66.
Well, those are better teams.
Right, but then they beat Elmira. Beat them well. 113.
Elmira or Elvira. That's a D4 school.
Elmira.
No, that's a D4
school. They shot 66%.
That doesn't count. That doesn't count.
So does Maine, is that the
Maine
start?
Maine is the beginning of the American East season.
On the 6th. Today is the, what, 4th?
Yes. I don't know.
Something third.
Yes. Stony Brook.
Yeah, this is. No.
Stony Brook.
No, it's Vermont. Vermont's really good.
You have no chance against Vermont.
Vermont, on the 31st of this month.
We play
Stony Brook. You host Stony Brook on the 18th.
I hope we beat them to salt. I hope we do.
Which you could trade for food here at Chatter.
Yeah.
Mr. Tony, it was a triumphant return for Isaiah Thomas last night with the Cavaliers. Interestingly enough, the last game he played was with the Celtics playing against those Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Finals. Of course, he had that hip problem, but he finally returned last night, made his first appearance with the Cavs in their victory over the Trailblazers, 127-110. He finished with 17 points
in 19 minutes. So he's on minutes restriction. So he will not. Now, this is interesting.
He's not going to play tonight, right?
No, he's not going to play tonight.
He's not going to play tonight.
This is a nationally televised game that attracts people of all stripes, including Wilbon, who's decided, I've got to go there rather than be in Washington, D.C. Isaiah Thomas will not play tonight, supposedly because of minutes restrictions and not two games in two nights. And that is believable. But what is equally, if not more believable, is they don't want him out there against Kyrie Irving.
Absolutely.
Right.
Don't you think?
Look at this
Isn't that the column?
Look at that guy.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. We can't. Now, if he was completely healthy, that would be different.
Sure.
We can't allow this optic for our team and the league and for Boston, because Kyrie Irving will destroy him tonight. So they're not going to play him at all. And, you know, and that's the story.
I mean, it is delaying.
And they're right.
They're totally right.
They're right.
They are delaying the inevitable, though, because these two, I think everybody would agree that these two teams are going to see each other in the spring. And that, if there's still
Think Cleveland is going to win that.
Well, they absolutely could. They absolutely could. They have the best player.
And don't you think Kyrie's going to use this as like a platform? Like, he's not showing up. Isaiah's not showing up tonight. You know,
I don't think he'll say that publicly.
My nuclear button is bigger than his nuclear button.
I think what he will do, I think Kyrie Irving will attempt to win the MVP award tonight. I think he will go out there and try and score 40 points, and which he's totally capable of doing. And I don't know whether LeBron will rise to that bait or not. I somehow think he won't, but I'm not sure.
I don't think LeBron at this point is in his career. He has such a good understanding of the big picture.
He does.
This game means more to Kyrie Irving than it does to LeBron. LeBron, it's like, well, okay. I mean, we have the spring coming. What are our bigger goals? The rings are the only thing that matter. Irving, by demanding, requesting, whatever, the trade in the first place showed that it wasn't just about the rings for him. It's about him, right?
It's about him. But I think if it is not pointed out, and I would be disappointed if the coverage, which will be voluminous on ESPN, if the coverage doesn't say Cleveland's holding this guy out because they don't want him to be destroyed. They don't want him to be psychologically destroyed and physically destroyed by Kyrie Irving, which would happen.
But again, that you could argue, and you're totally right, but you could argue that is a big picture view as well. This is the thing we should talk about tonight because it's happening tonight. If you're a Cleveland Cavalier and you run that team, or you're LeBron, it's just another game.
And for the Celtics, this is the second time these guys have played, but the first game, you throw that one out because that was when Hayward got.
Five minutes into his career,
he has no career.
Yeah, does that mean that the Celtics are like, we want to win this game to sort of make good on that?
Or no, it means the Celtics are at home and they want to win this. They want to win this game because anytime you play Cleveland or Golden State, you want to win this game.
And the right. Celtics are still the have-nots here. Yeah, I mean, they're not. This construction has not gone through Cleveland.
Yes.
Can I give a shout out?
Yes, you wanted to tell
a
story.
I want to give a shout out to a little.
Shouldn't you ask me, the news guy?
Yes, sorry.
Kidding.
Yes. So. I'll try to make this short.
Why?
My husband has a mule, as some of you may know.
That's a sentence that you don't hear that often. My husband has a mule.
And he, you know, conversed with the camels at Tori's party about his mule. But anyway, he went for a ride the day after Christmas along the CNO Canal towpath.
He rides the mule?
Yeah, what else?
I'm not a farm boy, but my sense of mules is that they pull plows.
No, they're
that they don't ride. You don't ride mules.
No, they're fabulous.
I've never seen on the side of the road mule rides 25. No.
So if you go down to the Grand Canyon, you ride them.
And they're much less skittish than a horse, and they can go better over rocks and stream beds and things like that.
Okay.
So it's a much more secure ride, which I'm happy about because his other horse was a skitsy thoroughbred. But anyway, he's going for a ride along the towpath, and he's about.
How he brings the mule in a mule trailer?
Sometimes he does, but actually the barn where the mule is close enough to the towpath that they can ride through the woods to get to.
Does the mule have a name?
Freckles.
Oh, that's
I know.
So
it's
cute.
A little too precious, and he thought about changing it, but she's covered with freckles.
To nails? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So anyway, to lace.
Lace.
Yeah.
To Saliza.
So he's gone about 5 miles from the barn, and the mule keeps wanting to turn around because... True to fact, they are stubborn, kept wanting to turn around. And so David thought, well, I'm going to get off the mule and give the mule a rest, and then he'll want to go further. Well, Gene's rules, never get off a mule.
The mule could kick you in the head.
No. But anyway, so he gives the mule a rest. He tries to get back on the mule, and the mule keeps resisting him.
Well, wait, when you say resisting him... He can't even swing his leg over?
David's standing on a log, and the mule keeps moving away from the log. And then the log is rotten and collapses. And so
smack the mule in the head.
We don't do that.
Get a Kia.
Get a rolled-up newspaper.
So finally, David gets so exasperated, he says to the mule, okay, fine, you can just walk home and the mule turns around and starts walking.
Really? So the mule understands it's Francis the talking mule.
Apparently.
That's great.
And so the mule remains about an eighth of a mile ahead of David all the way down the towpath. And, of course, David is 5 miles from the barn and then has
That's
to go through
walk.
The woods, over the river and through the woods. But eventually, he sees a woman down the towpath, further down, as the Freckles is walking toward her.
Lorelei?
And she
one of the sirens.
Stops
what?
The mule very kindly.
Is this a scene out of...
stops the mule. The
checks papers.
And what's that What's that movie with George Clooney that's so good, the weird movie?
Oh, I'll get in a
second. Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah. Is it one of those scenes?
Yes.
Okay.
So I knew you'd digress here.
Yeah.
So she stops the mule and David catches up with Freckles and this... Very nice woman.
She just holds on to the mule?
Yeah, she holds on to the mule.
And the mule does not...
The mule stops and lets her hold on to it.
Okay.
So then David tries again to get back on the mule. Mule's not having it. Mule takes off through the woods. So this woman says, here, you know, let's get in my car. We'll try to follow the mule. She was going for a walk on the towpath. They get in the car and... The mule by now is on River Road, but it's on River Road way, way extended. It's really just a gravel road.
It's on River Road
at this point? It's just a gravel
road. Like checking out the Beltway?
No.
There were no news helicopters involved yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay.
But eventually, the random trash truck is going down River Road and tries to stop and herd the mule. And David is called ahead to the barn and said, you know, mule on the loose.
Right.
And they're coming at it from the other direction.
Mule squad.
Rogue mule.
And David and this lovely woman are coming at it from the other direction. And so...
So they have we got the mule surrounded.
David
we're going to shoot the mule.
And the woman start up a conversation and he refers to his wife, Jean. And she says, Jean McManus? And he says... Yes, and she's a little...
Fantastic.
Lisa Frula.
That's fantastic.
Saved my husband.
That's great.
She's from Bethesda, Maryland. So I sent her flowers the next day and said, thank you for rescuing my husband. And I hope someday she'll come to chatter and we can, you know...
Oh, that would be great.
...treat her to breakfast.
Who needs her? Let's bring the mule.
Well, you can...
Let's ride the mule. We'd be the only... Is that legal to have mule rides in a restaurant?
Bringing up bad memories.
Okay. No, that's a good story.
So remember the Night of the Camels? We kept hoping one would escape and go down River
and
Road.
Just start running free, just going crazy.
That would be a helicopter situation.
Live your life, camel.
We haven't talked about that.
That was so much fun.
Wasn't
one of the camels' names Ezekiel? Wasn't that right?
I didn't get their names.
Yeah. Live camels. Tori Clark.
She's
the greatest.
She gets it done.
Bactrian or dromedary?
Dromedary. No, wait. One hump.
One hump
is dromedary, right?
No, I think it's the other one.
Live camels.
I'm not sure.
The other animals were rather disappointing. They were small. They were not...
Drug, do you think?
They were not what they were cracked up to be.
Well,
like that cow was hardly a cow.
No.
That cow could have fit in the back seat of my car. That was not a real cow.
And there was a goat that had 4 horns.
Something was wrong with the other animals. I mean, they were from the miscreant animal petting zoo.
Right.
But the camels...
Camels.
They brought it. Oh, my God. Have you ever...
It's a big... Time of year for a camel. Rent a camel. I've never petted a camel. No,
they reached the bar. I have to say.
Do we have pictures? We must have pictures.
Oh,
yeah, some pictures are out.
On the
internet.
What else? Do you have anything else?
I have one final story. It does involve an animal, but it's not a happy ending as it was for Freckles or for all the animals at the camel party.
Freckles.
Beres Astana, which is a KHL team based in Kazakhstan. I'm sorry that Gary is not here.
Well, Gary, just for people that don't know, Gary's recuperating from shoulder surgery.
That's right.
Yes,
Gary will be here next week.
Yes, we expect him back in on Monday.
Okay.
So
I'm out one day next week. I have jury duty. I'm out on the 11th.
So you'll be out for several weeks.
It's the District of Columbia.
Oh, yeah.
The available pool is not as big as you might think.
Every 2 years.
Clockwork. There you go. Clockwork. Here you go.
So Beres.
Don't worry, I'll get paid $4 a day.
Beres Astana decided to perform a ritual before practice. I don't know whether to cleanse the team or bless the net, but they sacrificed a sheep on the home ice and then sprinkled the blood onto the goalie net, which sickened many of the foreign players who were not Kazakhis, who said, what is going on here? Including...
This is right out of Vikings. Is anybody watching Vikings? Yes, they do this all the time.
Yeah, they love to kill things and sprinkle blood over things. NHL forward...
It's great to be a Viking.
Right.
Case Keenum, happy.
Yeah, Nigel Dawes, got good name there. He's the current captain. Used to play in the NHL. Was not pleased with this. Got sick.
Did he throw up?
It didn't say whether he actually threw up, but they said several of the players were sick. And they will play their first game tonight. So this is like a season blessing. They played against Russia's Ugra.
Like, this was Kanti a live sheep.
Yes, it was a live sheep. Until
not anymore.
After the sacrifice,
wow.
It was not.
Now you can't do that.
Doesn't blood do that. Bounce on ice?
You know.
I mean, I have trouble with the octopus. Does.
Yeah, just.
Yeah. That's, so if Freckles gets, you know, irate again, you could say, look, we could ship you off to Kazakhstan. You know what happens to you there.
A very good segment. A very good segment. Lasted forever.
Diverse.
Gene's story, which was going to be short, lasted 10 minutes. But worth it. Totally worth it. I will take a break. We'll come back. We'll have Old Guy Radio. But Steve Sands will join us. Right?
Yes.
Sands is now in Milwaukee.
That's right.
Doing speed skating for the Olympics. Sands and Barry are going to be...
We're going to have a beer in Korea.
Yeah.
Oh,
talk about the Redskins, maybe.
You know what? Do it early.
Yeah, we'll do it early.
Do it early. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I've been in this town so long. Old Guy Radio for the day is one of the great songs the Beach Boys ever did. Collaboration between Brian Wilson and Van Dyke Parks, who's 75 years old today. This is Heroes and Villains. I think they collaborated, in terms of critical commentary, I think they collaborated extensively on Surf's Up, on the album Surf's Up, which has very, very exotic and mysterious lyrics. I mean, Brian Wilson wrote about surfing and cars and teenage crushes, and Van Dyke Parks wrote about the Illuminati. It was
right.
It was different. It was different.
I guess this was the follow-up to Good Vibrations, and the vision that Brian Wilson had for it, I think everyone sort of agreed that this didn't live up to what he had sort of envisioned it to be, and I think he personally felt this was like a failure in his competitiveness with the Beatles.
Yeah, but I thought it was great.
Yeah, this is a brilliant song.
I thought it was absolutely great.
So there you go.
Because we haven't talked to Steve Sands in a while, and because most of us have received manic texts throughout.
I feel like I have talked to him.
And Sands is so upset at what happened with the Redskins and so many other things that have gone on. We wanted to have him, and so I thought, I had said earlier in the week, I'd love to have Sands, but if he's on the golf tour, and we will talk about golf a little bit, because we like golf here, especially when it's 4 degrees below zero. But if he's in Hawaii, it's the time difference is too vast. And then I find out you're in Milwaukee. And you're, what are you doing in Milwaukee?
4 below, by the way, is a heat wave here in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So. It is 198 degrees below zero right now in Milwaukee. It is unreal. We are here for the Olympic trials speed skating. We do speed skating in the winter games, so the Olympic trials are this week in Milwaukee, and that's our big prep week for going to Korea next month.
Okay, so I am old enough to remember. Yeah, it's Barry and you. Barry said you'd have a meal together, and I said you better do it early because you never know what Rocket Man is going to do by the second week of the Olympics. But I'm old enough to remember when the speed skating capital of the world was West Allis, Wisconsin, where Bonnie Blair and Dan Jansen and everybody lived. In West Allis, Wisconsin. Is this still true for us, or are speed skaters still from that area?
No, they're right here. I mean, West Allis is right here, and a lot of people who are involved in speed skating in this state are the greats of all time. Eric Heiden's from Madison.
Yeah.
Bonnie Blair's from here. Dan Jansen's from here. West Allis is right down the road from where we are. The Pettit National Ice Center is where they're hosting this week, right outside Milwaukee. It's still the ice, you know, the speed skating capital of the world. But speed skating is not what it used to be. They need to step it up. The Americans got shut out in Sochi 4 years ago for the first time in you know, whatever it is, like 70 years in the Olympics. This is a big couple of months for U.S. speed skating if they hope to not become irrelevant, basically, in the Olympic sports world. They need to step up and get some medals.
So I remember Dan Jansen well and the sort of tragedies of Dan Jansen's competitive career, and then he finally won in Lillehammer, and he seemed like a very, very, very pleasant fella. And then Apollo Ono was the next great speed skater, and I don't know anybody since him. And you're saying
Shawnee
there
Davis.
Is nobody since him? Who?
No, there's really nobody. And now
Shawnee Davis.
Ono, that's short.
That's short. Yeah.
Okay, but that's not that
short,
long stuff.
Short track is different than the long track. The long track is the traditional Eric Heiden, Bonnie Blair, Dan Jansen. By the way, Dan Jansen could not be a more wonderful human being. He's a great guy. Not only is he a great story to live, he's just the best guy in the world. I actually had dinner last night with Bonnie Blair and her family. Bonnie's daughter will be in the trials on Friday for the women's 500 meters, which is a pretty cool story. She's great, too. All these guys and the women in the sport are just fantastic to deal with. They're great. The thing about what's happened since is that people are going towards the short track and away from the long track. There are some people who have chances to win medals. Heather Richardson is now Heather Bergsma. She's married to somebody from Holland. She has a great chance to win some medals. So does Brittany Bowe. So does Mitch Whitmore, Joey Mantia, Jonathan Garcia. There are some people who have chances to win medals. But what the sport needs is a star. They need someone to step up and win a couple of goals. Multiple goals would really help. Like a Bonnie, you know, like Dan and his story. He only won one, but his story was incredible over the course of three Olympics. And then obviously Eric Heiden is, you could argue his feat is perhaps the greatest in one single Olympic Games, winning all five disciplines at Lake Placid in 1980. So, it'll be fun to watch. The energy, by the way, Tony, in the building is really cool. I mean, Barry, you guys have been to the Olympics. The energy is so cool in the Olympics in these arenas. It's a lot of fun to be there.
The speed skating venue, I think, in the Winter Olympics is about the best. And it's largely, Steve, don't you think it's from the Dutch fans? They dress all in orange.
Oh,
and
those
it's just
from Holland.
Ring the bell.
Super fun. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
They're monsters,
they
too. Like 6'8".
These guys are gigantic.
Their thighs.
It's like you couldn't get that in the back seat of your car.
It's just, they're unbelievable.
I'll tell you what's amazing. Just to give you a little bit of an idea what this sport is like in the Netherlands. Now, soccer is huge in the Netherlands, but basically speed skating in a Winter Olympic year would be the NFL on steroids over in the Netherlands. I was doing something the other day. I was doing some research the other day on what it means. So say the Super Bowl in the United States. A good Super Bowl will get about a 52 share. So for our audience who's not familiar with television, basically half the country is watching is watching the Super Bowl on Super Bowl Sunday. When the 10,000 meters is run out, the 10,000 meters is the least exciting of the races.
Could accurately be described as boring.
Yeah, it goes on forever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's horrific. We got a commercial during during it twice because it's just so it's 12 minutes of guys and women just going around and round and around the oval. So anyway, so let's say a 52 share is a high number for the Super Bowl, which is a national holiday in the United States. In the Netherlands, when the 10,000 meters is run, when Sven Kramer tries to win the 10,000 meters for the first time next month in Pyeongchang, they will get a 90 share.
Whoa, come on.
Wow.
A 90.
Really?
They will have cafes will stop serving coffee for those 12 months. It is the biggest thing in the world to them. And they make the atmosphere so cool. And South Korea really digs
long
track and short track. So I expect to see Barry, covering some speed skating, and maybe we will have that dinner. But he doesn't answer texts anyway. I wouldn't either.
Well, I just finished chapter one of your most recent text, so that's
it's hard
when
to
I
keep
get
up.
Through the entire
keep
work,
up.
I'll get back to you.
So are you gonna
it's a cheap shot?
So you're gonna miss Steve? You will miss the Hawaiian part of the tour completely. You'll miss that.
Yes, general managers in team sports, Tony, they get fired for trades that include Maui, Honolulu for Milwaukee in January.
Yes.
I will not be going to the great state of Hawaii. It's very sad, but I will not be going to Hawaii.
So I was talking with Michael last night about what the questions to ask you, and Michael is right here. So
I'll fly down last minute, Dad. Don't worry.
Yeah. But he
By
talked
the way,
about.
Thanks, Michael, for the ray of sunshine on the Terps injury report response text the other day.
Jeez. All right, so he pointed out that last year, pretty much out of nowhere, Justin Thomas came out of the Hawaiian part of the tour and ended up being the player of the year, and he had been under the radar, obviously. Is there anybody this year, though you won't be there, is there anybody this year you would say this person has a chance to come out of Hawaii and be the next, not the next big star, but become a big star?
I think the only guy, it's a good question. I'm still following golf. I just, taking a little speed skating respite here for the next couple of weeks. I think the only guy who has a chance to do that would be someone who would break through. Justin Thomas had already broken through, really, with a couple of wins before last year in Hawaii. I think Kevin Chappell is a guy to look for. He went over real early, which is something I think a lot of guys are doing now, going to Hawaii early, getting acclimated to not only the time zone, but the grass and just the way you play golf at Kapalua is totally different than any other golf course these guys will play all year. And then the following week, next week at the Sony Open, is unlike any other course they play all year also, and it's the exact opposite of what you see this week on a big mountainous terrain at Kapalua on Maui. So I think of all the players who were in the field this week, and it's a short field, only 34 players, so winners only this week. Then next week's the first full field event of the calendar year. I think Kevin Chappell is a guy. He played on the President's Cup, Tony. He has one PGA Tour win. Before he got that win last year, Kevin was on the short list, real short list, of what every single person in golf would say is the best player who has yet to win. If he can play well this week and somehow sneak out a win, which he very well could, I think that sets up a monster year for a guy like Kevin Chappell. But I think that there's so many great players in the field this week. They all go out and play on Maui. The Spieth, Fowler, Thomas, Dustin Johnson, they're all there this week. I don't think that it's going to be someone off the board. I think it's going to be there's going to be a lot of horsepower on the leaderboard this week, and I expect Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth and Dustin Johnson to be right there, and Ricky Fowler at week's end. So I don't think it's going to be somebody like Kevin Chappell, but if it is going to be off the board a little bit, Kevin's your man.
So the other question that I would have is the anticipation of what Tiger Woods will do this year, and Michael was saying, ask about his schedule. Ask about his schedule. Do you have a sense of where Tiger Woods will play? Because I think, Michael, you feel that if he does the California thing that he always does, that's not good for him, right?
No, it just he has to be much more careful in choosing which starts. So, again, something like Torrey, which has always been familiar for him and given him a lot of success, that might not be the best place to start versus coming back in the desert.
Because it'll be colder in California, bad for his back.
And course setup and the style of play and the field that's there.
Okay, so what do you think, Steve?
Yeah, I totally agree with Michael. I think that it's going to be interesting. One thing that you can count on is that Tiger will play the Genesis Open. It's been called different names and different sponsors, but
Riviera.
The weekend of the Super Bowl is in Scottsdale. The following week is Pebble Beach. So it's the middle of February. I can't remember the exact date, but the middle of February, the last event in California, because that's the event that all the proceeds go to benefit his foundation, the Tiger Woods Foundation. So he will be there. And if he's healthy, he'll play. So when I saw him last month in December, we chatted about this, Tony. He looked healthy. We'll have to wait and see how everything is from the shoulders up when he gets into contention. But he looked healthy physically. So because he looks healthy physically, I would be shocked that he does not. He's a very stubborn guy, and I mean that in a good way, because one of the reasons he's been such a great player is because he's so, headstrong and stubborn. I would be shocked if he did not go to Torrey Pines because of his success. Someone told me something interesting, and I thought it was fascinating. Tiger needs to learn, now that his body is the way it is and everything that's gone around him injury-wise the last couple of years, that he needs to not relearn his game, but he needs to realize that he can't do the things he used to do, so he needs to play differently, which means if he goes to Torrey Pines in a couple of weeks, which I expect him to do, I agree with Michael. I don't think that's a great spot for him, not only because of the chilly weather. The golf courses are just really, really hard, the north and the south, and the field is so good. He's going to probably go over to Dubai, get paid to go over there. He's designing a golf course over there. A long trip might not be the greatest thing in the world, to go halfway around the world, no matter how you're flying, commercially or privately, with his bad back. I think that is somewhere where he will probably go. So I still expect him to not go next week to Hawaii or go to the California desert in a couple of weeks where guys are 30 under par and the hole looks the size of a basketball rim and not a golf hole because the greens are so great. I think he's going to continue doing what he's always done in the past. So I think it's going to be Torrey Pines. I think it's going to be Dubai. I think he's going to take a couple of weeks off, not play Scottsdale or Pebble Beach. And I think you're going to see him at Riviera. And then he's going to go play his normal schedule in Florida, perhaps the Honda Classic, which is down the road from where he lives. Bay Hill, where he's had tremendous success before is in the middle of March, and then he'll get ready to play the Masters. So I don't think his schedule is going to change much if he's physically healthy, which we all know he is now.
Okay, so I'll get you out of here on this, and you have to pick one of the two. As you look at Tiger in the upcoming season, are you more fearful or are you more optimistic?
That's a great question. I'm not optimistic that he is going to win. I think that when he plays full fields, Tony, I think it's going to be just too difficult for him. It's been a long time. So he, like Sergio before he won the Masters, when you would say, hey, who's going to win? I would never pick Sergio until he actually got it done. And now that he's gotten it done, maybe I would pick him at a major championship. I can't pick him to win one yet, Tony, because I think if he keeps that same schedule and doesn't go to places that are a little bit more golfer-friendly and the field isn't as strong, I just don't see him beating the best players in the world on the most difficult golf courses on the PGA Tour. His best chance to win, by the way, in my opinion, is at Augusta. Because I think only like 10 or 15 people, you know, have the gumption to go win there and try to win a green jacket. So I'm not fearful of anything. I just am not optimistic that he's going to go beat the best players in the world.
Okay, enjoy the lovely outdoor scenery in Milwaukee. Yeah, I've heard that said that these guys are good. We'll talk to you.
Yeah.
And certainly you and Barry get together early in South Korea because who knows?
I hope so.
I feel great about that.
I love you and Barry. I love the text he writes. And my life is a lot better because I didn't watch one play of the Skins game. That's great, Barry.
It's true.
It's fantastic. By the way, the Caps and the Terps winning last
night. We'll talk about this offline.
Football is over, by the way. Football season's over. Go Caps, go Terps.
Goodbye. Thank you, Steve. Steve Sands, boys and girls.
Happy New Year, everybody. Love y'all.
Happy New Year.
Hi, Steve.
All right, we will take a break. We will come back. We will do emails and jingles. Yes, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here again tonight. Yeah, something's just not right. Who could predict this plight? Hey, DC, come on. Would you come if I'd listen to Gene and name this place Mitzi's?
Yeah!
If I would have left the menu alone. I know that I'm no restaurateur. It ain't no lie. But have you seen our new decor.
Bye.
Don't want to be a fool, it's true. Just don't understand, Chad has got good food. Renovated and got chips by guys.
Coming bye.
Advertising can't be tough. All your pals are here, that should be enough. Should have listened to my money guy. Now it's gone bye.
It's just so great. So Kirsten Ohnstedt, it's just so great. I mean, that's just great.
Wow.
Before we get into the mailbag, let me thank Pat Forty of Yahoo Sports and Steve Sands of the Golf Channel for coming on the show. Thank the sponsor today, Squarespace, which I learned about, which Gene likes. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. One of the presents I got during the long break where I was completely miserable and never would do this again, I got a cup that said, I just want to watch Hallmark Christmas movies all day. And
I think we know somebody who would like that,
hey,
right?
You know, we should thank Tom Bjornson for all the champagne.
Tom Bjornson is fabulous.
Oh, thank you, Tom.
Yes. He's just fabulous. From Christian Markanik in Maple Valley, Washington, the woman to whom I'm related by marriage, watched the Hallmark Channel's new movie, The Christmas Train, over the holidays. I'm sure you can imagine my surprise when I read the synopsis. A cynical journalist must get from Washington, D.C. to Los Angeles in time for Christmas, and his only option is to take the train, but found out that this was a fictional tale starring Dermot Mulroney and was not a biopic about your life. All the movies are the same on the Hallmark Channel. From Jeff Stabe, that thing with all the dates that match the month number falling on Sunday would be pretty cool if it weren't mathematically impossible. A quick something search shows that 10 of the 12 of those are fake news. Keep up the good work. So that it's not the 1-1-18 and the 2-2-18 and the 3-3-18?
I guess
really?
Not. Really? I guess not.
All right. From Rod Ettinger, longtime Little, even before we were known as Littles, on a recent trip from our home in rural southeastern Pennsylvania, Ole, Pennsylvania, to visit the eldest of our three masculine sons who had just turned 27, what to my wondering eyes should appear? and his mileage is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and the trip is 78.9.
Well, that's fantastic.
Wow. It just doesn't get any better than that. Eat it, Saliza. This natural phenomenon occurred somewhere in the hills of Pennsylvania between Harrisburg and Pittsburgh. I ordered my younger son to capture the image on his cellular device while doing 70. Of course, the woman to whom I'm related by marriage for 35 years just shook her head and muttered something about that old bald orange guy. She's an organist and choir director, and I've almost convinced her that you need the mailbag theme performed on her new pipe organ. It makes a Westminster Choir College graduate shiver, I like to think, in anticipation. Please tell Michael it was snowing in Pittsburgh. With best regards, Ron Edinger. From Brad Weiss, did you actually say that South Dakota is the greatest of all the Dakotas? North Dakota. That's a Dakota.
That is a Dakota.
Brad Weiss sends from Williamsburg, Pennsylvania. From Chris Cavanaugh in Cincinnati, Ohio. Dear Dr. Mr. Tony Hoff Waff, the Christmas holiday giving gift was extended for me this year when the person to whom I'm related by marriage gave me the gift of honest feedback on January 1st. Cursing is deleted. Me. God, it is so effing cold out. I hate this. Wife, you're such an old man. For someone in his late 40s, you sound like someone ready to live in a home called Shady Acres. Me, why do we live in this wretched climate? I just want to go to Wilbon's house in Scottsdale and be able to walk the dog without risking frostbite to mine. There are blanks here. Wife, who is Wilbon? Wait, is that from that stupid DC podcast you listen to that really isn't about sports? Me, maybe. Wife, you're even older than I thought. What happened to starting the new year off in a positive friend of mine? Me, I'm positive. I want to get my blank out of this cold and somewhere warm. Apparently, my wife feels I'm turning into an orange balding man complaining about the weather. On a related note, are there promotional codes for your show for hand warmers? No, but we did get
giant gloves.
Yeah. Giant
we got those
yes.
wonderful, wonderful thing. That's from Chris Cavanaugh. From Dina Yagodich or Yagodich. It's Dina in Damascus. It's easier to say that. I am sure this is email number 1221 about this, but as a math professor, I need to explain how the only way that 1-1-18 would be a Sunday and 2-2-18 would be a Sunday, etc., is if every month was exactly 27 days long. So it's and signed Dean in Damascus, who teaches math, real math, not Gary math, not fake math. So that couldn't be right.
I guess that's wrong.
So who gave me that?
Monday, January 1 should have been your first, I don't know, clue.
Because?
It wasn't a Sunday.
Oh. It was not a Sunday.
Correct.
Well, I just read these things.
Ago.
They put these things in front of me. I don't know what they
still
are.
Still a short-term memory.
Paul Scoriels in Covington, Louisiana, heard you talking about how Chase Daniel, who went to Missouri and played well for a year, but really hasn't done much since. Well, he's in his second stint with the Saints and has career earnings of $24 million, which is not bad for backup. I would take it if I could get it.
Yes.
By the way, the low temperature today was 18 degrees in southern Louisiana, colder here than in parts of Alaska.
Yes.
Welcome back. Hope you and the gang had a good holiday break.
Say it's warmer in Anchorage?
It was warmer in Anchorage
really
than in one
here.
Of the
Plant
northern
city, Florida.
Yeah, Florida. Yeah. No. And that was on the Today Show. No, I'm wrong. I'm making that up.
I'm sure it's correct. It's just hard to believe.
If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
You know what ought to happen to them?
What?
They ought to be stabbed by cocktail forks.
Oh, my.
Thank you, everybody.
Bottles in the basement, broken promise from the handsome party. You never figured out the placement, never knew we both could fail so smartly. I didn't see you there with anyone. Sifting through the faces, you went drifting for a discount Sunday. I was just covering the bases, slowly pushing just to make it part way. I didn't see you there with anyone. You weren't sitting in. the punchline. The one who answered for the disappointment. I was just digging for the streamline. Always searching for the soul contentment. I didn't see you there with anyone. I didn't hear you when you called out brightly. It never mattered, we were overdone. One out of two to come apart so slightly.
you so much, Raleigh.